It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Richard Fordyce, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA. He'll join us in a moment. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, on the mystery of China.
Will they buy the 25 million metric tons? Will they buy 15 million metric tons in the new marketing year? Will they buy 12 million metric tons? Huge implications. If China buys zero, then we've got to really cut USDA's export a target. If they buy 12 million, we have to cut it. If they buy 25 million, we have to increase their export target, decrease ending stocks. Large implications. This will be the market sensitivity going forward, along with watching weather. So far, weather's good. No real concern as far as the funds are concerned. China is the central factor here.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. With us today, it's the Honorable Richard Fordyce, Undersecretary, USDA. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much. It is always good to visit with you, my friend.
Payment eligibility provisions. I'm going to get out of the way because I know this can get deep and maybe a little technical along the way, so help us out.
Well, Tony, you as always, you do a great job of teeing up a conversation, and you know these are two or three of probably the biggest provisions that were in the One Big Beautiful Bill. You know, when we looked at payment eligibility for entities for so many years, because Congress had not called them out specifically. We treated some business entities differently than we did others if they had multiple members. So as a matter of fact, LLCs, S corporations, for example, were obviously an eligible entity, but they were limited to a single pay limit. But we had other entities, you know, joint ventures, general partnerships, et cetera, that were treated differently, and they were called a pass-through entity because the payment limit could pass through to multiple members. So if that entity qualified for more than one payment limit, then that could pass through to multiple members. So with the One Big Beautiful Bill, they did specifically call out LLCs and S corporations specifically to be considered in that group of other types of entities that would be considered pass-through. The one caveat to that, Tony, is that the members, in order to be eligible for additional pay limits, have to be actively engaged in the farm. So they have to either provide management, equipment, labor, capital. So they have to meet two of those standards to be considered actively engaged. And, you know, the folks, your listeners are going to know when I say actively engaged, they're going to know what I'm talking about. And I know you do as well. But that is one of the things that we are including in this, additional pay limits is that member of the entity that could be eligible for an additional pay limit, is actively engaged. There was a payment limitation increase, and so for a number of years, and I don't know how far back this dates, I should remember, but that payment limit per entity had been $125,000. And, you know, these are for programs like the ARC and PLC program, our primary safety net programs. The new payment limit that has been updated through the One Big Beautiful Bill now is $155,000. And I think the interesting thing that Congress did with this legislation is, you know, not only did they raise it from 125 to 155, but the 155 will annually be indexed for inflation. And so when we, you know, historically we think about payment limits as being static, now that payment limit will be adjusted depending on inflation. So, you know, likely that payment limit goes up, you know, a little bit each year. So, you know, that is really, I think, very interesting. a lot of the things that I have heard commodity organizations and farm groups and really just frankly farmers that are friends and neighbors, you know, we've talked about, you know, for years, raising the reference prices. Well, they did that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. You know, the payment limit kind of was an issue, and they did that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. What we talked about equitable treatment for eligible entities, they did that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. So just a lot of things, you know, that were in there. A lot of that was on the Farm Service Agency. You mentioned that right off the top. You know, they, that agency and certainly as well here in the Undersecretary's office have really been working since day one of the passage of that, to implement all of the provisions that were, directly related to the work that the Farm Service Agency does in administering programs. So there was a lot. It's been a lot of work to get a lot of these provisions implemented, but I think we can see the light at the end of the tunnel now, Tony.
We're talking with Richard Fordyce, Undersecretary at USDA, on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Today, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA, Richard Fordyce. Let's talk about the payment limits here. This has been somewhat of a hot topic over time on Capitol Hill. Did the One Big Beautiful Bill address those some changes that have happened in ag over time?
I think it does, or it certainly goes toward that, Tony. I mean, you know this as well as I do. You know, the risk and the exposure that, you know, a modern ranch today or a modern farm today in agriculture country is enormous. You know, the capital requirements to plant a crop, raise a herd, whatever that is. And, you know, the exposure to risk, you know, whether that's price risk, you know, we've got great risk management tools, you know, through crop insurance to kind of handle, you know, some weather risk. But, you know, I really think that, you know, voices that have been talking to, you know, congressional leadership for a long time about, you know, about some of these things and they need to be addressed. And they were in the One Big Beautiful Bill. And, you know, we've got a lot of champions on Capitol Hill that certainly understand agriculture and, you know a lot about the programs and places where a little bit of a change could really make a difference in some of these programs. And so, you know, a lot of that was done. I think that's partially why, you know, we've been a little delayed in getting an actual farm bill, like we historically or typically would think of as the farm bill, because a lot of those provisions were taken care of in the One Big Beautiful Bill.
We're talking with the Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA, Richard Fordyce. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donnie Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA, Richard Fordyce. Let's talk modernization now. I know it's something you've had on your radar, somewhat of a curveball here. What's happening?
Well, Tony, I'm glad you threw that curveball because I really get excited to talk about the effort that's going on right now at USDA, and we're calling the effort One Farmer, One File, and it means a lot of different things, but I think from a modernization standpoint, it is, we're looking at the IT systems that support these agencies within the mission area. So, you know, under our purview here in the Undersecretary's office is FSA, RMA, and NRCS. And, you know, if a farmer goes in and engages with FSA and then maybe, you know, a few weeks later they engage with NRCS and certainly they've got, you know, they've got a crop insurance agent that they work with, we're probably asking them to sign eligibility forms and things that are probably very similar. And so number one, at the very top of the list, it's can we consolidate forms? Can we make that engagement more streamlined, less time? And so there's that. We also have some policy considerations to think about. Are we doing things just because we've been doing them for 20 or 30 years, or are they necessary, or can we eliminate some of the steps and some of the kind of the regulatory burden that folks have to undergo to interact with our agencies? But the one that's the most exciting, I think, to me is this IT modernization, and they all really go hand in hand. But we have systems, within all three of the agencies that are old. They were stood up probably for a singular reason to implement a program at some point. And because we have to have access to that data, those systems still exist and they're still, I call them on life support. But even the systems that we use every day to do acreage reporting and other things, are slow and they require a lot of like individual data entry by our folks, the program analysts in the office. And so a complete end-to-end IT modernization where we're going to be able to decommission a lot of these old systems, literally operate on one singular platform that RMA plugs into, that NRCS plugs into, and that FSA plugs into. You know, I heard it described the other day, you know, if you're working on a conservation project at NRCS, you know, we got humans in the building that have to run paper files back and forth from one office to another just to initiate the application. And those days will be coming to an end once we've kind of finalized this IT modernization. But the big one that I'm super excited about is our acreage reporting modernization. Right now that's a very cumbersome process. If you do it at FSA, it takes a lot of time. It takes the farmer a lot of time to do it. It takes the program analyst that works there in the office a long time to do it. We're modernizing that, putting it on a geospatial mapping layer. It's going to have some really cool features, as we continue to implement new phases of this. We are using it in some counties for this spring. Not every county is going to have access to it, but we hope to, by August, have every county, in the country that'll be using the new acreage reporting system. And so for fall-seeded crops, all of those acreage reports will go through the new system, and then certainly spring of 2027, very excited that everyone will have access to the new acreage reporting. It is slick. And then our final phase on acreage reporting, Tony, is we're going to be able to import precision ag data. So all of that data that's being captured while folks are out farming, planting crops, as they're doing it or when they're finished, you can literally upload that data from your precision ag technology and report your acres. So super excited about a lot of that. I tell people, like this week or this month when we've been talking about it at meetings and other things, I say, man, I can't wait till I come back here next year and tell you where we are, because it's going to be really exciting. And I know farmers and ranchers and our employees all are going to like the new tools and the new things that we're working on. So really excited about it.
Well, hope you won't wait till next year to come see us again. Thanks for your time.
All right, Tony. Thank you, sir. Always good to visit with you.
Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA, the Honorable Richard Fordyce. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Alan Kane with Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Many of the folks speaking today is that landowner cooperation is going to be critical. You guys are the front lines. Wildlife are not like cattle. You can't gather them up. You can't look at them. So we need you when you're out there in your pastures and driving around, checking your cameras, checking wildlife, especially during the hunting season. This comes up. That's going to be critical because, as Dr. Dinges pointed out, the quicker we can find those detections, the quicker we can respond. That access to not only these landowners, but about 1 million licensed hunters in the state of Texas provides us an opportunity to an incredible outreach opportunity to get information out, factual information, in how to respond. And we continue to work hand-in-hand with Texas Animal Health Commission and USDA during this this pest, and hopefully we can take care of that soon.
It's the Agribusiness Report.